This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting the Ponies on the Bet Rivers Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Betting the Ponies right here on the Bet Rivers Network. Monzo and Melusis with you, Moose. Happy spring.
Happy spring.
Opening day, baseball, horse racing, Kentucky Derby, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. It's all upon us.
Hasn't felt like the spring up here in the Northeast, but yes, I mean, it rains all the time. It's cold, but yes, spring is upon us. Spring has sprung. Yankees opened yesterday, successful down in Houston. Mets open up on Friday against Milwaukee. So I'm happy about that. And, you know, we're starting to really kind of light it up as far as thoroughbred racing goes with great racing early and great racing late on Saturday. And we're going to take a look at all of it today.
Just about a month, a little over a month away from that first Saturday in May. We still have handful of prep races to get to, and we'll go through maybe one of the most important ones, the Florida Derby, later on in the podcast. We are going to start with one of the best races of the year, and that's the Dubai World Cup. Moose is a big advocate of European and racing overseas, and if there's a race over there, he's going to pick it, and this is one of the better ones. That's the Dubai World Cup, a race that we had some success last year on the podcast, so we'll try and keep that momentum going.
Yeah, you had the winner, Dermot Sotogake.
No, that was Ushba Tesoro.
Oh, Ushba Tesoro. Yes, that's correct.
Spoiler alert, though.
That's right. Dermot Sotogake won the UAE Derby 2 years ago.
Yes, and ran admirable in the Kentucky Derby last year, got injured, came back in the Breeders' Cup, and ran well again. Just couldn't find his way to the finish line first. But we'll see what he does this race. He'll be 4-1 on the morning line. Moves race 9, and it's a good field. We have the returning winner of the race last year, Ushba Tesoro. You have the winner of the Saudi Cup, and that is Senior Buscador, runner-up in that race as well. And you have Clapton, a horse that we've picked on this podcast before, going off at a big price at 59-1 on the morning line. Dylan Davis on board there. And it was a competitive field, maybe not the best version of this race. I mean, Senior Buscador going off at 7-2 on the morning line, a horse that's been around for a while, a grinder, finally got his big win last out in the Saudi Cup. So good for him there. But, a good field. I wouldn't say this is one of the best Dubai versions of this race, but certainly an opportunity to make money, in my opinion.
No, I think now with the Saudi Cup, I think, everything going on at Gulfstream is a little bit different. I mean, when they drop down the purse from where it was to where it is now. But the Dubai World Cup at one point in time was kind of the, ultimate race of kind of the winter months or early spring after the Breeders' Cup Classic, when you had horses like Cigar and stuff like that. And it's a little bit different. I think it's enjoyable. You get up early, especially here on the East Coast, really early if you're up on the West Coast. And you're able to take in what is kind of world-class racing at, world-class track where you have combatants from all over the world, Europe, United States, and stuff like that. This rendition, not an unbelievable rendition, but doesn't mean that isn't a spot where you can make yourself a little bit of money.
Mile and a quarter on the Dirt Moose. Trying to think where you're going to lean. For some reason, I think, for whatever reason, you like the 9, Newgate. Frankie Dettori, Baffert, success in this race, runs well, a little bit of a price. Is that anywhere close to where you landed?
I do like Newgate in the race. It is Baffert, it's Frankie Dettori. Coming out of a really successful race, won by a head at Santa Anita. At a mile and a quarter, fourth race off the layoff, has been firing bullets out of Into Mischief, a 4-year-old. I think is really, really talented. And I think the buyer speed figures do fit a little bit. So he's a horse that I do like. However, I like him underneath. I don't necessarily like him on top. You and I are going to have the same, I basically spilled the beans right at the top of the broadcast or the podcast when we were doing it. You and I are on the same horse. I went into it kind of wanting to see if I was going to like him and ended up liking him. And I went with Dermis Odagake, the 4, at 4-1 on the morning line. Christophe Lamar on top. The Japanese bred, we've seen him run in the Kentucky Derby, ran well, ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic, ran well in the Saudi Cup, beat 5th, beaten by 2.5 lengths. Mentioned it. You go back to, March of last year, won the UAE Derby, which set him up to be about 7-8-1 on Derby Day. Didn't have a race going into it. Out of Mind Your Biscuits, the breeding doesn't scream a mile and a quarter. It doesn't, but this horse outruns his breeding. And that's where I landed at 4-1 on the morning line. I landed on the 4, Dermis Odagake in the Dubai World Cup.
Yeah, I think this horse wants more distance, despite being out of a horse that you love, Mind Your Biscuits, who's won races at Dubai as well, for that matter. I just think, look, do you want to see more races between the Kentucky Derby and now? I think obviously the answer is yes. But in the races he has run, he's run really admirable against good horses. This isn't not running against claimers. He's running against some of the best in the country right now. I think Senior Buscador had a masterful ride from Junior Alvarado last out in the Saudi Cup. I think if you look at how Dermo ran in the Breeders' Cup off that long layoff, he's a really solid horse. And I think that long stretch with the added distance, I talk a lot on this podcast about finding a horse with some value at the right time that I've never bet on. I've never bet on Dermis Odagake. I mean, I've probably used him underneath in the Derby. I don't remember every bet, but to me, if you're getting 4-1 on a horse that I think is the likeliest winner, that's a bargain. And I think he's going to run a big one. I do fear that a lot of people are going to be on this horse, so 4-1 might be a little bit of a pipe dream, but 3-1, 7-2, I'll take that. So Dermis Odagake, top pick in the Dubai World
Cup. Yeah, I'm going to use two horses underneath. I'm going to use Newgate, or I should say three horses underneath. I'm going to use Newgate underneath. That's going to be one. I'm going to use Ushba Tesoro underneath the 11. That's going to be two. And the other one that I'm kind of interested in that I think has got a little bit of talent is I'm going to butcher the name. Kabir Khan, I think it is, right? Kabir Khan is the 6 at 7-2 on the morning line out of California Chrome. Ran in the Al Maktoum Challenge, won that race by daylight under Pat Hobbs on board, trained by Doug Watson. I think this is the breeding to me, screams the distance, has had a lot of success over at UAE as well, running lengthy races, 1.25, 1.75, has run over in Russia. You look at this, I think Kabir Khan is one that I think it's 7-2 on the morning line. I think the 6 is one you got to use underneath, but I'm going to go with the Japanese bred Dermis Odagake on top.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to use the 1 Clapton underneath. 59-1 on the morning line.
Yes, that's your horse.
Just look at a couple things here. If you put a line through the Breeders' Cup Classic, and let's just say for argument's sake, the horse didn't like Santa Anita. I mean, that could have been the case. Ran just superbly at Saratoga, ran well at Churchill, just grinds every race out at prices, and has two races now in Maidan. So prepped for this race, experience on the track. I think extra distance is good for this horse. And the one thing about Clapton is he doesn't go backwards. He may not win, but he's going to keep grinding and grinding at a slow pace. So I think he's going to win the race now. But can he get underneath, get a clip, finish third? I think at a big price, to me, is a must-use in exotics.
Yeah, I can see that. And plus, you've got, when you look at Clapton, you've had success with that horse in the past as well. And now all of a sudden you're getting huge odds on a horse that you think at the distance works. So I can understand why you're going to use Clapton.
So Dermis Odagake, top pick for both of us in the Dubai World Cup. We're going to move back to the United States of America, and that's Gulfstream Park. We're going to go through races 10 through 14. We're going to start with the Grade 3 Orchid, which is a mile and a half on the Gulfstream turf. I have to admit, I haven't looked at the weather, so I'm going to play this as it's going to be fast and firm, hopefully. And this race, Grade 3 event, mile and a half, like I said, on the turf. Your favorite is the Chad Brown horse, McCulloch, 6-8-5 on the morning line with Irad Ortiz Moose. And we talked about it before this podcast. What I thought was challenging about this card was there's some races, a lot of times I'll look for a price. I'll look for value and try and find a way to beat the favorite. Some of these races, I think the favorites are on a different level than the horses beneath them. And I, unfortunately, well, fortunately for McCulloch, unfortunately for everybody else, I just think this horse is so much better than everybody else that 8-5 feels like a steal in this race.
Yeah, I like McCulloch. I didn't go anywhere else. And to just answer your question about whether or not there's going to be rain in the forecast, the answer is no. Partly cloudy sky, 78 degrees around the greater Miami area. So I wouldn't worry about rain on Saturday, even though, as you know, being a former Florida native, rain could pop up at any given time. That's where I landed as well. It's Chad Brown. It's Irad Ortiz. We've seen her do the dance before, a daughter of Frankel. Didn't run well in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare turf. However, ran well in the Wya, ran well in the Flower Bowl, ran well in the Glens Falls in New York. I mean, ultra consistent when you're looking at this. At that point in time, was a four-year-old. Now you're looking at a five-year-old. Brown still has her going turfing. I would expect her to fire fresh. She did before in the past in the Modesty, finished fifth that day, beaten by 3 1/4 lengths, but it's not like she ran poorly. And she was 5 wide going into the upper stretch. So, if you look at it, I think she's the best and the most talented horse. She's 8-5 on the morning line. That's the being master of the obvious here on this podcast for sure. I think she has every right to be 8-5 on the morning line, and she is obviously the horse I'm going to pick on top to win.
Yeah, we're on the same horse. And if you go back to that race, the Modesty, where she was wide, I mean, the winner of that trip was Didia, who won the Pegasus World Cup, turf. So losing the quality horses as well. So, and let's be honest, looking up and down this field, this is not the Breeders' Cup. This is not the Wya. This is not the Flower Bowl. This is, I think, like I said, these horses are a cut below. So 8-5 on the morning line feels like a really good price. Now, if you're looking for some value underneath, I looked up and down. A horse that runs well almost every race, buyer speed figures a little light. And that's the horse right next to her, and that's Creative Cairo. 12-1 on the morning line, Le Perou. Deep closer, sometimes that hurts a Gulfstream, but if I think if you're looking for some value underneath, Creative Cairo is a horse I'm going to use.
Yeah, Creative Cairo's one that you can use at 12-1 on the morning line. I really think it's a two-horse race. I think it's McCulloch, and I think it's the unknown in La Mahina, the Clement trainee with Joel Rosario aboard that's coming over. Last time we saw her, tremendous breeding when you're looking at it. Out of a French filly, out of a French mare and an Irish sire, was running group ones and group twos. Has run well. Rosario hops on a board. You know how we're big fans of Clement on the green. She's 2-1 on the morning line based on her European form and her time form rating. And usually for those that don't know, you're looking at time form ratings, usually to give you a kind of, it's not an exact science, but kind of a rough estimate is usually I take 10 points off the time form rating, gives you an idea of what her rating would be as far as a buyer speed figure, as far as a comp to the American way of grading out horses or give them a speed rating. She's got a 99, like 109, 104, 105, 103 in terms of time form. I don't think the distance should be an issue. She's 2-3 at the distance. I think those are the two, obviously, the two top betting choices, morning line choices, 8-5 and 2-1. I think it's going to come down to La Mahina and McCulloch. Whoever wins the race. I like McCulloch. I'm with you, the 6.
Race 11, Gulfstream Park, is the Gulfstream Park Oaks, mile and a 16th on the Gulfstream Dirt Moose. And if you look up and down the field, your morning line favorite is Ways and Means, 8-5 in the morning line for Chad Brown. Hasn't run since September. Gunsong, 4-1 on the morning line out of Gunrunner. Winner last out into Champagne, ran well in the Devona Dale, finishing second all the way outside Fiona's Magic, your Devona Dale winner. So I think a pretty competitive field. It's kind of crazy to me that a horse like Ways and Means, who hasn't run in a long time, coming off a second place finish in the Spinaway, is such a short price in this field. Doing, you know, running again, hasn't run in forever, and you know, really stretching out a little bit here.
Yeah. I mean, is it just the respect they have for the human connections? And listen, she's talented. She's a 3-year-old out of Practical Joke. You look at this race; it's a mile and a 16th. Practical Joke, if we're going to be realistic here, was best at the one turn distances of 7 furlongs and a mile. We are both huge fans of Practical Joke. Made us both a good amount of coin over the course of his racing career. But I did not land on the 4. I think it's more of a case of, you know, that 90 buyer speed figure that she fired up at Saratoga, you know, last August, and then coming back and running in the Spinaway, obviously has been well bet in each of her races. This is her third start of her career and has been training well. I mean, also been training at Payson Park, which is obviously historically very deep and great for conditioning. And she's been firing out bullets. So I expect her to, but the question is what is she going to be as a 3-year-old? And are you willing to take 8-5? Because oftentimes you see sometimes where horses, when they get bigger and stronger, they're not as fast as they were as a 3-year-old, as a 2-year-old when they turn 3. They don't necessarily mature and get better. We see it sometimes. Sometimes we see them get remarkably better, right? And there's a massive step and a massive improvement. That's not where I landed. I tried to find a little bit of form here. I went to a horse, I landed on the 5 into Champagne for Ian Wilkes and Julian Le Perreux. Third race off the layoff. Ran in the Devona Dale, ran well that day. Fiona's Magic was also in that race that day, was nearly 9-2. You know, steps up in the distance for sure, but has gone 5 furlongs to 6 furlongs to a mile. A daughter of Into Mischief. I don't think the distance of a mile and a 16th is going to be an issue. The buyer speed figures are ascending, which is kind of a trend that you like, 70, 72, 82. I love the last workout on March the 22nd as well. I landed on the 5 into Champagne.
Yeah, I went to the horse just to the outside, and that's Gunsong. 4-1 on the morning line, out of Gunrunner, certainly improving, something I like with these 3-year-olds. Stretching out a little bit here, but has seemed to answer the call every time. Last out on a mile race, optional claiming race, really showed the worth of this horse and really, you know, went away from this field after putting up, you know, reasonable figures. So it makes sense based on, you know, they weren't flying up front, but got the job done. And, you know, the ascending buyer speed figures make a lot of sense to me. I like the fact that this is the horse's third race this calendar year. You know, Mark Henning's winning, not at an exceptional rate, but gets Johnny V up here. You know me with Gunrunner horses and Gunrunner himself, one of my favorites. I think this race makes a lot of sense. And you're getting 4-1 here on a horse that's, you know, putting up speed figures in the mid-80s, and you'd expect maybe a little better here. So Gunsong, my top pick. Certainly going to use your horse underneath. I think you have to respect Ways and Means. The other horse that I find interesting is Fiona's Magic, the 8. Winner last out, experience at this track. Basically the horse for the course, you know, 5-for-5 hitting the board at 6-1, I think is a must use underneath as well. Moving on, race 12, the Sand Springs, a mile and a 16th on the Gulfstream Turf Moose. Not a graded event, but $150,000 on the line. If you look all the way to the outside or close to the outside, market segmentation, 7-5 on the morning line. Speed Horse hasn't run since July of last year, your morning line favorite.
Yeah, and you understand why. You know, 2-for-2 at Gulfstream Park, 4-6 at the distance, is coming all the money all 6 times, is running grade 1s and grade 3s. When you look at market segmentation, you know, we're getting into that time where, you know, you're going to see an onslaught, especially in turf races. You're going to see in the Northeast as well. You're seeing it down south on Saturday, where Chad Brown just has, you know, one horse after another, and they're all very good. They're all very similar. They're all very well bred. They all really kind of give a good assessment of themselves. And more often than not, they're ridden by one of the Ortiz brothers, either Jose or Irad. And when you're looking at market segmentation, he's got Jose Ortiz aboard, who I believe is really good on front-running horses. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I can understand why market segmentation is 7-5 on the morning line. I tried to get a little bit creative here and going away from kind of being the master of the obvious. And I landed on the Pletcher trainee, Cairo Consort, the 6 at 3-1 on the morning line. Pletcher, the distance only 1-4, 2-6 at Gulfstream Park. A four-year-old filly out of Cairo Prince. The workouts have been good enough. Go into it with the full expectation she needs to kind of take a step up or improve with her buyer speed figures. But you've seen that. You know, her buyer speed figures this year have improved as a four-year-old as compared to where she was as a three-year-old. You've seen it 84, 89, and 86. She hasn't won yet this year. But I don't know if I necessarily see anything that is all that great when you're looking at this race. I think it's a little bit of a step back. Healthy respect for market segmentation. Understand why she's 7-5 on the morning line, but I went with the 6, Cairo Consort, at 3-1.
Yeah, we're on the same horse here. I think the cutback in distance is going to make a lot of sense. I really like that performance last night. I better in the very one. Just got out finished by R. Kelly Kim, who was a scratch out of a later race. Anatolian is running in an earlier race as well and is short on the morning line. So lost to two really good horses. Does this horse get the setup? Does Irad put this horse in position to, you know, chase a horse that might be loose on the lead? I don't know. But I do think Cairo Consort is talented enough, if market segmentation does wear down, to be the horse that pass. And, you know, this horse, I think early in the career, there are a lot of expectations, but, and maybe it's been a little bit of a disappointment, but she ran well last out. She's run well in a lot of races, and she hasn't finished in a while. I think this is an opportunity at 3-1 to finish in a race where your favorite just hasn't run since July, you know? So I think it's an opportunity to hit Cairo Consort, not at a huge price, but this is her chance to get the W. The other horse that's interesting to me as I go up and down the past performances is Infinite Diamond, who, if you look, hasn't won at this distance, hasn't won, but put up a 91 buyer last out. And to me, a figure at this, you know, there's a lot of tracks we say that horses run well at certain tracks. You know, I think if you put up a 91 at Gulfstream and you're coming right back on the turf in a race that was set up for closers, Paco Lopez is going to have this horse in the mix out of B Jersey, a Met Mile winner. At 8-1, Infinite Diamond to me is a horse you must use underneath.
Yeah, Paco is going to be super aggressive. We know that. But yeah, I could understand that with Infinite Diamond. But I think I'd be surprised if market segmentation didn't come in the money in the top three in the race. But not my best bet of the day, but I like Cairo Consort in it.
Race 13, the Appleton, a mile on the turf moose, and $150,000 again on the line. Big Everest running for Christophe Clement, the horse that I'm sure you love and have loved in the past. Never Surprised running as well. 5-1 on the morning line. This to me, you know, Smoke and Tea, a horse that we've seen in the past, a little bit of a speedster. Not a great race, no, but a competitive field.
Yeah, it's not a great race. When you're looking at the Appleton, it's a mile. It's not. And let me ask you, who's going to go with Big Everest? Do you think Saratoga Flash goes?
Has showed speed in the past for sure. Smoke and Tea has shown some speed in the past as well.
I know, but do you think they go?
You know, maybe all the way on the outside. Churchdown tries to get loose in the lead. I don't know.
Surprise has shown speed. Saratoga Flash. I mean, the question is you know, who's going to challenge Big Everest up top? Because you know he's going to go.
I think the answer is I think Big Everest, to answer your question, I think Big Everest is going to be on the lead. And, yes.
But is he going to be unchallenged?
I don't know he's going to be fully unchallenged, but he might be forced to go a little bit. I don't think, at the end of the day, he's my top pick. I'm considering him the lone speed, but I'm not saying, you know, at 7-2 in a race like this, I wish I was able to go elsewhere and feel confident. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel confident, but I'm going to take a shot because I don't know. I think he, well, I I go with it understanding that if Big Everest gets uncontested lead, isn't challenged up front, based on what he's done at the mile distance, I would expect Big Everest to win the race. So go into that. I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to land on the Safi Joseph trainee, ridden by Jose Ortiz. I'm going to land on County Final, the one at 12-1 on the morning line. First race off the layoff, okay, a little concerning. Works are fine. They've been pretty good, to be perfectly honest with you, but nothing, you know, jaw-dropping. I don't know if it's necessarily a step up. The buyer speed figures are ascending. 89, 95, 96 gets a little bit of a break, a little bit of a freshening. You know, it's been training it down at Palm Meadows. Out of Oxbow, Calumet Farm owns. They paid $475,000 for this horse. It's a six-year-old gelding. It's made him $722,000 in his career. I think he's going to get a pace to run at. You know, and I understand he's 0-1 at the distance. He's 0-2 at Gulfstream Park. And there's reasons why he's 12-1 on the morning line. I'm just looking at it. There are races in his past, though, not necessarily at a mile, that are fast enough to be right there at the end of this race. It just is. And so I'm going to get 12-1 on the morning line, and I'm going to get Jose Ortiz aboard. I land on the one County Final.
Yeah, the horse I really wanted to like in this race is all the way to the outside, and that's Churchtown. I just worry about the post position and where they start this race is going to make it a bit complex for this horse to navigate a trip or be exactly to have Javier get this horse exactly where he wants to be right out of the gate. The trainer has not had success yet at the track as well. So I did land on Big Everest, and the other thing is, and I didn't bring it up when we were having this discussion a minute ago, is, you know, he doesn't need a lead. So if some cheap speed wants to go, you know, he could sit and make that move down the top of the stretch, which you've seen, we saw last out, and we've seen it in the past. So, you know, the lead I think would be ideal. That's where he's most comfortable. But if someone tries to go and, you know, I trust, you know, Joel to sit, a, you know, half a length off and just press and hit the go button at the top of the stretch, you know, I think that's, you know, could be his best bet as well. So Big Everest, my top pick. All the way to the outside of Lake Churchtown underneath 8-1 on the morning line. That's going to be my exact. I'll throw your horse in because you picked it. Makes a lot of sense. I would have liked to see Flavian Pratt stay aboard, but yeah. You know, not much. No downgrade with Jose Ortiz, but 12-1. How do you not like that price? And I think the draw actually benefits based on where they're going to start this race.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to use Big Everest underneath. I use Churchtown all the way on the outside. After all, it is Easter weekend. And then I'm going to use the 5 Never Surprised for Irad Ortiz and Todd Pletcher. Has run well, run decently at the distance, finished second both times at a mile in 2 races. Has come in the money 4 out of 5 times at Gulfstream Park. You know, a little bit clearly kind of used that race early March kind of as a prep to get him ready. For this one, Son of Constitution, Irad Ortiz aboard, replaces Luis Saez, who's over in Maidan. So give me Never Surprised. They'll use him underneath as well.
Top of the stretch time. That's the 14th of Gulfstream. The Grade 1 Florida Derby. Derby points on the line. Moose mucho Derby points on the line. So basically, if you win or finish second in this race, it's a very – well, obviously, if you win, you're going to go to the Kentucky Derby and – if you get some points underneath, it's certainly going to help your odds as well. Fierceness, your 8-5 morning line favorite. After a very solid performance in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, certainly underperformed in the Holy Bull. We both picked him by a mile in that race and did not run particularly well. Now, wasn't awful, but, you know, they weren't moving up, you know, that fast up front. It looked like he had a perfect trip and just – the wheels were spinning as they hit for home.
When he's getting worked on before they enter the far turn, you knew it was going to be a long day. The Fierceness at odds on was not winning that race. So, like, I for a horse, like, you can look at it. I mean, end up finishing third in the race. But, I mean, it was a terrible performance after what we saw in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And now you have this kind of thing going with him where he's got good race, bad race. You know, 95-59, you blame that on the slop. Then fires a 105, goes off at nearly 17-1 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, gets completely forgotten about, and then comes back first race after that Juvenile victory in the Holy Bull and fires an absolute dud. So is that setting up for a kind of tour de force performance for fierceness in the Florida Derby?
I think that fierceness is going to be heavily overbet. And my concern is off that first race. Now, it's a first race, and you say he needed a race, and he's been training well. My concern is, was the juvenile the peak, and now he's not as good? And I certainly can't take this horse who has a chance to be regressing at the age of three, as opposed to, as I said on this podcast earlier, horses that are getting better at this stage of the game. So that's my concern, is fierceness may have peaked in a big race, and that race last out is what he really is.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. So
the horse I'm looking at,
I'm not on fierceness on Saturday in the Florida.
So we're probably at 8-5. I'm on the 9, Conquest Warrior.
Yes.
You know, and the pattern of just getting better, you know, the debut was in the slop. The maiden special Gulfstream was not. It was a solid performance, comes back in an optional claiming, wins for fun. Out of City of Light, who really appreciated Gulfstream as well. Just to me, this is a 3-year-old who won for fun while heavily favored at 1 1/8. I mean, that to me is impressive. Shug, we all know how much we love him. Jose Ortiz, who I think pound for pound is the best dirt rider in the country. At 3-1 against some horses that might be, you know, I think Hades overperformed last out. And I think Fierceness, we still don't know. So a 3-1 Conquest Warrior, a horse that getting better, appreciates the track, 2-for-2, working well. I mean, it's all the things you want in a 3-year-old.
No doubt. And it's McGahee. And we're on the same horse, the 9 Conquest Warrior. It's McGahee. I don't think he'd put him in to this spot unless he really believed. They spend $1 million on this horse, right? Out of City of Light, out of a pulpit mare. You mentioned about the workouts. I think the interesting thing when you're looking at Conquest Warrior is, you know, they're trying to put, you know, 10 pounds of you-know-what into a 5-pound bag. And they're trying to squeeze a lot of experience in a short amount of time. You know, made his debut in December. Came back, ran 5 weeks later at Gulfstream Park, won that race. Then came back, I would say, about 7 weeks later, and won in Gulfstream Park at 1 1/8, in a 75,000 non-winners of one other than, and won that race impressively, was odds on that day. Now, the question you have is, okay, it's about 4 weeks since we've seen Conquest Warrior on the track, right? Hasn't been given the same amount of time in between races. Is he able to not only fire a really good shot, but improve? I think the workouts would lead you to believe that he will. You know, they've been super aggressive with him, trying to get him ready. They spent a lot of money. Obviously, you're spending $1 million on a 2-year-old. You're looking to try and get him to the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. And here's where we are. Jose Ortiz, 3rd straight race that he's riding him. It's McGahee. I don't think if the horse was doing well, McGahee would not force his way into it. It's not like Shug's got Derby fever and needs to force a horse into the starting gate for the Kentucky Derby. I think he's the ultimate horseman that handles his horses well and doesn't put him in harm's way. So that's where I landed as well. A little concerned about Fierceness. I think Hades' best shot was in the Holy Bull. You're getting 3-1 on an improving 3-year-old that has been training well, handled by a true horseman in McGahee, ridden by one of the top jockeys in North America in Jose Ortiz. I landed on Conquest Warrior at 3-1 on the morning line in the Florida Derby.
And the other thing, and I talked about this on a podcast earlier, a couple of weeks ago, the thing with Conquest Warrior, as opposed to a horse like Fierceness and even Hades, I mean, he needs to win more, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
For the Derby points. So they're in it to win it. They're not in it to give him a breeze and, you know, hopefully get in. Like, this is their chance.
Yeah, this is their chance. But I also, with that, though, I don't think McGahee would put him in there unless he felt like he was ready to fire his best shot.
Oh, for sure. No, I wasn't arguing that at all. And the other thing with Fierceness is if you put a line, which, I mean, look, you're putting a line to the best race. You know, there's not much difference. You know, a couple of underwhelming performances in the slop. I mean, one really good one, one not so good one. And then an okay performance, no better or no worse than Conquest Warriors' maiden win. So statistically. So I think if you look at those price differences, you know, Conquest Warrior being a stock going up, Fierceness kind of just bouncing up and down. I think that's why, for me, I would take a horse like Conquest Warrior.
Yeah, I'm with you on there. I think Bayless Out is interesting for Rapoli and Pletcher. You know, coming off the synthetic win at Gulfstream and a maiden special weight, that's a horse that they spent $700,000 on that, you know, out of looking at Lucky, that they're looking to try and see exactly what we got here. Third race, going from a maiden victory into the Florida Derby, I think is interesting just because they spent so much money on the horse. I couldn't bet him at 15-1, though. It's too much of a kind of a leap of faith, but I respect the human connections with it. But I really like we're looking at, we looked at the Dubai World Cup, and listen, I think Dermis Odagake can easily win that race. I think the race I'm looking forward to the most and the horse to see run would be the 9 Conquest Warrior on Saturday.
Should be a good one. We've had some success in these prep races. Let's keep that going.
Yeah. Well, you've been all over it. You had a great, I mean, you had a, you were printing money last Saturday.
Well, a couple winners, a couple losers.
Well, but yes, big swinging Brian Monzo.
Yes, the Louisiana Derby. Was good. But as I said to you in the text, still down for life.
No, I understand that. But listen, anytime you still down for life is one thing, but you want to have a nice trend moving forward, and you certainly did.
We will continue this conversation next week. Plenty of stakes action to get to as well. We still have the Wood Memorial, the Santa Anita Derby. There's plenty of races to get to. The Bluegrass, Keeneland will be opened up before you know it, Moose. It's a great time of year.
No doubt about it. I love this time of year. Prep season, big races on Saturdays, entertaining races, ways to make a little cash. But really, ultimately, the goal is the first Saturday in May in the 150th running this year of America's greatest race, which is the Kentucky Derby. I love this time of year. I really do. Weather's getting a little bit warmer, sunnier days, hopefully, and great thoroughbred racing.
Take all the money you win off our tremendous picks and make sure to use them on the Bet Rivers app. Play those endless amount of awesome casino games. Make sure you do that. You're listening to Betting the Ponies right here on the Bet Rivers Network. We will speak to you guys next week. Listen, subscribe. We'll talk to you.
Thanks for listening to Betting the Ponies on the Bet Rivers Network.